The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. So when England won the World Cup in 1966, even before I was born, there was an iconic moment from the commentary at the end of the game. England, of course, beat West Germany 4-2 in extra time. And in the last few seconds of the game, the commentator was focusing on Jeff Hurst going through on the German goal. He got distracted by some of the crowd spilling onto the pitch and said, "Some people are on the pitch, they think it's all over." And then Hurst scored and he went, "It is now, it's four." And that phrase, "I think it's all over," has become somewhat iconic. Fantastic back page headline on the Scottish Metro today, which Charlie Weston tweeted this morning. And it's a picture of Raheem Sterling going over for the penalty. And the headline is, "They think it's fall over." Yes, indeed, Miguel Delaney, chief football writer in The Independent, because I think everybody outside of England regards that as been one of the most dubious of penalties to win a match.
Oh, yeah. Marca did. The Spanish sports newspaper had an extraordinary editorial today when they were talking about basically how England likes to lecture the world on diving and fair play, and now they can never talk about it again because they've done it on one of the biggest stages. They said apparently it's not right until you get to a European Championship semi-final. But I think...
Sorry, Miguel, can I tell you, an English friend of mine this morning says to me, he sort of goes, no, look, there was nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, it's happened to us. I mean, do we ever give out about Diego Maradona punching a goal against us in 1986? To which the answer is, you've never stopped giving out about it, has been a sort of an example of foreign cheating.
Oh, yeah, and it's funny the way the kind of conversation's been reshaped now, where it's now, suddenly after this debate for 30 years, it's no longer cheating. It's just, it's being streetwise, gamesmanship, being as cunning as your opponent. But the actual, I suppose, a key point is, and Southgate did actually point to this more seriously, that this is exactly the sort of kind of, I suppose you might say, maturation that England had to show to finally start winning tournaments, among a number of other evolutions, to be fair. But it's pretty hilarious just how that debate has been referred. But I suppose we can look at it from our own perspective as well. We're only too keen, a lot of Irish people will be only too keen to laugh at the hand of God, or when, say, like Diego Simeone kind of basically tricked Beckham into a kick in 1998. Yeah, so we probably can't get too high on the horse now that they've actually... shown how to do it themselves.
Yeah, so we benefited from it. But there are still other issues in relation, and UEFA are investigating a couple of things that happened last night. And one is very serious. This issue of the laser pen being shone into the face of Kasper Schmeichel as he prepared to face Harry Kane's penalty.
Yeah, so it's one of a number of disciplinary issues that UEFA are looking into, as well as they put a disturbance around the anthem, which I presume means the booing. Which has actually been a bit of a feature of the tournament, although I think there's been an element of pantomime to it because it's been heard at so many stadiums. But that thing with the laser pen, it was almost like, I remember about, what was it, 5-10 years ago, we used to see them all the time at games until you wait, there was a bit of a crackdown. So it's something we haven't seen for a while until now, at one of the most crucial moments of Denmark's tournament. Now, it doesn't seem to have distracted Schmeichel, given he did make a superb save.
But hold on a second, Will you say a superb save? Was it actually? I mean, I know this might sound bizarre to say that there's such a thing as a bad penalty save because he did stop the ball going into the net. But, you know, you could argue that he would have been much better off if he'd pushed the ball away to the side rather than, as he seemed to do, to try and catch it. And by trying to catch it, he lost it and provided Kane with the opportunity on the rebound.
Well, I suppose it's a bit of kind of almost classic risk management there in that he's trying to catch it to prevent exactly that sort of situation. It didn't work out there. But actually, I do think that moment did highlight something. Maybe there's a bit of a flaw in football's rules in that it feels like a team is almost being punished twice, or potentially being punished twice, if the kicker is immediately allowed to hit the rebound.
In a way that the kicker is not allowed, say, if he hits the crossbar or the post and the ball rebounds, he's not allowed to touch the ball again.
Exactly, because there's a clear advantage there, because the ball basically fell right for Kane, whereas had he not been allowed to touch it, another player had to come in, then Schmeichel might have been able to get up, or a Danish defender might have come in. In saying all that now, they did get not so much lucky, maybe, they manufactured their own luck, England, But they did, I think, very much deserve the win.
Oh, look, now, I'm not debating that, but as another listener brings up, Miguel, a point I should have brought up earlier, before Sterling had the opportunity to fall over for the penalty, two footballs in the on the pitch, in the clear view, the referee and linesman, why was the match not stopped? That is the rule.
Yeah, and what, after the penalty, there was a similar incident where a ball was back on the pitch and it was stopped. I mean, it's no excuse for Denmark. And from what I gather from speaking to a few of their journalists today, there's quite a bit of bitterness about this. But ultimately, it comes down, I suppose, to human error. The referee didn't see it the first time, saw it the second time.
But what about VAR? Because, again, a lot of people are pointing out that whatever about the situation, there was a penalty review. We could all see what had happened on things. Why wasn't the referee... Why didn't he go over to have a look on the television screen himself? I mean, was he afraid to overturn a penalty for England at Wembley in extra time?
Well, I wouldn't say that now, because to be fair, I actually thought the Harry Kane shout at the other end, slightly a bit earlier, was maybe almost as concrete, maybe more of a concrete penalty shout than the Sterling one. So I don't think it was down to kind of the referee dodging decisions in that way. And I have to say, I think given the modern rules... Which, that's where people can maybe find more fault with it. I think you can understand why the penalty was given, or certainly I can see the rationale of it, even if you can still maybe point the finger at Sterling for very much manufacturing the foul. But I think that was another issue with the game as well, where there's been another advantage England have had in this tournament, where it's fallen into their lap that most of their games have been at Wembley. Some were supposed to be in Brussels and then Dublin. Both were changed. So they've only had one trip away, which is to Rome, not that far, whereas the Danes had obviously been to Baku. And I think that really came across towards the end of this match, where you could see with the Danes, they're almost putting these lazy challenges because they were just so exhausted.
They were knackered. Yeah. Listen, one final thing, getting back to the anthems and the investigation, which will lead to nothing whenever UEFA does an investigation. But it seems that the great voices at the moment in British society are footballers. Marcus Rashford has done such great things. Gary Neville talks a lot of sense about things at times. Gary Lineker, his latest tweet, which I really like, says, if you're lucky enough to get a ticket for the final, please, please don't boo the Italian anthem. A, it's an absolute belter and worth listening to. B, it's bloody rude, disrespectful and utterly classless to boo. So leadership from Gary Lineker, but I wonder, will that come from the politicians who are trying to wrap themselves in the England jersey and whip up nationalist sentiment on the basis of football success?
Oh yeah, sure. You can even see it with the talk at the final. They might even increase the capacity. This is a massive political football for Boris Johnson. On the one thing I would say about the booing, though, is that has happened at literally every game this season. So I heard the Danes do it to the Welsh. When I was in Rome, I heard the Italians do it to Welsh, and I heard the Spanish do it as well. So, and the Italians did it to the Spanish as well. So it's been a little bit of a feature of the tournament that I would have thought was a bit of pantomime to it, but I suppose it takes on a different dimension when it's so loud, when there's so many people, and when unavoidably, for some people, there's obviously some sort of nationalist element to it.
All right, look, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Miguel Delaney, chief football writer at The Independent. We'll do a full preview of the England-Italy final during The Last Word on Sport tomorrow.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.